The second reading today is from 1 Samuel verses 8, 4 through 20, and then a couple verses out of chapter 11. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. And they said to him, "You are old." That's a great way to start. "And your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like all the other nations." This thing displeased Samuel, and when they said to him, "Give us a king to govern us," Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of your people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So also they are doing to you. Then listen to their voice only. You shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who will reign over them." So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. And listen to what he describes it will be like to have a king. "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to chariots, to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and to make his implements of war and equip his chariots. This king will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers, his people. And he will take 1/10 of your grain of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. And he will take both your female and male slaves and the best of your cattle and your donkeys and put them to work. And he will take 1/10 of your flocks, and they shall be his slaves, and you shall be his slaves, and in that day you will cry out because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you on that day." But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel, and they said, "No, but we are determined to have a king over us so that we may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go before us in our fights and our battles." And Samuel said to them, "Go, come, let's go to Gilgal and renew the kingship." So all the people went to Gilgal, and they made Saul king before the Lord of Gilgal. And there they sacrificed the offerings of well-being before the Lord, and there Saul and all the Israelites rejoiced greatly. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Well, happy 166th anniversary, Old First Presbyterian Church. This was back when you weren't even called old. You were just called First Presbyterian Church. And you know we like to brag. We are the oldest still active Protestant church in California, because you know that brings the people in. But in preparation for this sermon, I just love history, so I started reading books: Heritage and Hope, History of California, and then one written by Steve Tabor called Pioneer Community of Faith, Old First Presbyterian Church, the First 150 Years. It's really a good book. You can get one downstairs. But I read them, and I realized that there is almost nothing in this church building, nothing we have, that came from 166 years ago. And partly that is because of a little something that happened in 1906 called the Great Earthquake. And it's interesting, when the elders reported what happened in their notes about the earthquake, this is how they wrote it. San Francisco, April 18, 1906. A violent earthquake at 5:13 o'clock this morning shook the city to its foundations. The earthquake was followed immediately by fire. While the First Presbyterian Church was not materially damaged by the earthquake, It was consumed by fire on the 20th of April, along with its contents, and only a few records being saved. I'm just shocked. It's so cut and dry. What they fail to report in here is we were one of the buildings that was basically dynamited, torched to be a fire break, so the whole city would not be ravaged. And listen to the recordings of a man who saw it more with his heart. Soon, the beautiful Gothic church of Old First Church was the center of all interest, as flames burst from its roof and windows, and inch by inch in the crevices began to climb the tall church spire, till it became a fiery finger pointing upward to heaven in defiance or appeal. We held our breath as we watched the fight, whether the western wind or the eastern wind would gain the day. Slowly, the great building melted down, but the tower, so straight and tall, still burned on. Then, with slow and stately movement, it bent backwards and fell into the burning building. The wind had conquered the city, and what was left of it was saved. And so passed Pioneer Protestant Church of California. Kind of wonder, how do you come back when your dreams and hope have burst into flames like that? But I discovered the DNA of the people of First Presbyterian Church were people who knew how to rise out of the ashes. It really was in their DNA. I mean, there were other people that would have had this destruction of their gorgeous church and would have given up, but not Old First, because they knew that the church was more than a building. I mean, it started in 1849, and when they started, they had borrowed rooms in a schoolhouse, and then they got a tent. Now, you might think, ooh, a new tent? No, no. They bought a tent that had been part of a military company in Boston, and then it got here, and a mining company used it until it went defunct, and then we bought it for $200. And when they put it up, it must have been so badly, in such bad shape, that one of the members, DeWitt, announced as they were erecting it that he had bought a prefab church from New York and it would be coming around the Cape as he put it up. Now, they lasted about 6 months in the church until the rain came, and then they went and used space that First Baptist Church had put up. Well, they got the prefab church and they found the land and they started to erect it, put the frame up. And a strong wind came and just blew the whole thing over. So they put up the frame again, and they got this church built, and they had a worship service at it, and it was supposed to be fabulous. There was, they say, 1,000 people came and 32 women, which in that day was a big deal because there weren't many women in San Francisco. And one man wrote this account. I attended the dedication of a new Presbyterian church. It was built in the Gothic style, and services were interesting, and church was overflowing, and in the evening I went to worship again, and it was more like home than I had been to since I had left. The church was well lighted, there were many ladies, and there was music. So it's pretty exciting. They built this church. I think they were worshiping in it at about 1851. And you may have known between 1849 and 1851, six major fires ravaged the city. There was an arson loosed. And the six major fires. And on June 23rd, 1851, a fire started right near the new church, 6 months after it had been built. And they were able, on that morning, to take what they could carry. They took pulpit, the pulpit and the Bibles and maybe the communion ware, and they watch the church burn to the ground 6 months after it was built. Well, they worshiped again with First Baptist Church in their building, and then they built a church out of brick. You can imagine, fire had come. They built a gorgeous church out of brick. You can see on the cover, it's a picture of that little wood church that burned, but they built it on Stockton and Broadway. It was gorgeous. And then 1882, they sold it because they wanted to move down here. It's where the more affluent people were living. And so they built another church, beautiful Gothic, and they built it out of wood. I kind of find that interesting, out of wood. And in that wooden church was the one that burnt in 1906. So I'm caught by the fact that this church had a change all the time. Probably the only thing left is this, you see those little kind of dusty pewter communion glasses? That's it. And I read about these, the first pastor named Reverend Williams, who served 5 hard years, and it was under great stress, and he had terrible illness by the time he left. There's a letter that goes on that he was writing the board of trustees saying, you know, I paid for the communion set, give me the money, and they weren't really willing to. Ooh, we got a little things, but here we still have them. I don't know if they gave him the money or not. So when we talk about the good old days of old First Presbyterian Church, I'm thinking, really? Is it those good old days where chaos and fire was kind of what happened? I mean, I'm not even going to tell you about the fact that they had 15 pastors up to 1906. I am kind of aghast by the fact that they still kept helping people at this time. It's what they would have called serving the social order, is what we would have called mission and service. And they served the social order, and they were a civilizing influence in that day. And really, they did. They started an orphanage, which is Edgewood Children's Home. They started the first free public school. They were involved in the starting of the University of California and the YMCA, all in those first years before 06. And I was also caught, as I read their history, how much San Francisco has not changed. I mean, they were caught by the transient nature of the town. Now, when have we heard that? Young adults come about 3 years and then they move on. This is what they said back in those days. Indeed, it has become so frequent an occurrence that we hardly heed the declaration of those that leave after a brief sojourn here. They come and we never have the intention to see them again. A few months pass away, and we never see their faces. Really? So transient was kind of normal. They also struggled with a society that was radically individual, and how do you put that individual freedom over a community responsibility? When have we heard that before? They say it like this. The Californians have too often come to love the mere fullness of life and lack reverence for the relations of life. We are all but dust, save for the social order which gives us life, except what we do for others. We think the world is our instrument, our plaything, to make our private fortunes for one object, us. And then the social order rapidly becomes vile to us. We look at the world and we think it's sordid and degraded and corrupt and unspiritual, and we ask how we can escape it forever. But if we turn again and serve the social order, and not merely ourselves, we soon find that it is the serving which becomes our spiritual destiny. And it is never truly sordid or corrupt or unspiritual unless we forget to do our duty. Do you hear that? It's just kind of stunning. They are really saying it's when it becomes all of us, the world is one we want to run away from. So that's our spiritual DNA. And I wondered what the spiritual DNA was of the people of Israel at that time. Do you hear that? They're led by the prophet Samuel, and they've had enough of him. His sons are corrupt. I mean, they really were. They were lazy, and they were taking bribes. And the people say, we've got a plan. We want a king. We love you, Saul, but we hate your sons. And Saul is so hurt, displeased. That's a gentle way to put it. So he goes and he prays to God. Now, I want you to understand that when the people are saying they don't want a king, what they're really saying is they don't want to follow God. See, in this plan, Samuel was the prophet, and God was the king of them. They already had a king. God ruled. So they're saying, we don't want you anymore, God. And so Samuel tells them what it's going to be like. And you notice they won't listen. They say, they hear all this. Did you hear this? Slavery, you're going to have nothing. And they say, we still want a king. And see, the people decided they needed to change, and they knew best. And they saw what was out there, and it looked really good for them. They wanted what everyone else had. The Wednesday Bible study put it this way. They looked around at the Canaanite monarchs of the region with awe and mistaken admiration for the supposed security and plenty that came from those kings. In essence, they wanted change for change's sake, and they hadn't bothered to think about the ramifications of their desires. Well, you guys got that one right. They stopped listening and learning. They just wanted it. And they would not keep their ears and eyes open to the word of God. That was a real problem. Not that they wanted change, but that they wouldn't listen to God. I mean, they became enamored and entrenched in their plan, and there would be no other. That's what really got them in trouble. What I hear from this sermon and from our church's DNA, not from the sermon, but from, well, I hope so, but from the scripture, is that the people of God, change is normal, be it by fire or people going away or bad leadership. The problem, the challenge is, who will we follow and who will we get? How will we get through this change? And I hear in today's world a longing for something else, a longing for the church to meet the needs of the day, longing for something different. And I wonder, at 166 years, do we need change? And are we asking to have it, just to have it, or are we listening to God's will on that? I mean, we're a little scared, if the truth be told, because the church doesn't seem like the church we remembered, if there ever was that church. And we worry about, will we have enough to keep up this building and to keep up the things that we love and how we support this community? So we start thinking about, what can we do to draw people in? And I say, I think it's glad we're looking at how do we serve God in this day. I mean, that is a good question, but we have to be open to, are we following after God? Are we saying we want more numbers, or are we saying, where is God calling us? Are we saying, boy, a big budget would be great, or are we saying, how does God want us to use that budget if we get it? Do you understand the questions? They're kind of tricky a little bit. It might be like we think we have a great way, but maybe we still have to listen. I came up with a great plan I thought we would follow. I pitched it to the session, and guess what? They said no. And that's okay. What they said is, we want to discern where we might go. This plan may work better later, Maggie, but we're going to look around, and they've come up with a kind of a, what do they call it, an assessment. It's a fancy way of a survey, and they're going to put it out. It's by a group called Holy Cow. Now, I would choose it just because I like the name Holy Cow. But what they have decided is they're going to put this survey out probably in a couple of months, and it's going to kind of measure the satisfaction of the people here. It's going to identify kind of critical issues for us, discover if we are ready for change, discover potential resources we're missing. It will help us look at who's in the community really, not who we think is here. and look at models that other churches have used in similar places. Now, look at that. We may not have to dream up something totally new. Maybe we can learn from other people's experiences, mistakes, and maybe even find a way to follow God. But this is what the passage tells me and what I get from the sermon. Chaos is normal. Change is normal. But we have a DNA from this church that says we are going to find out how to be God's people in this time, in this place. And then I hear the echo from the book of Samuel saying, hey, make sure you listen to God in this. Make sure you're open and you can learn. Because you know what? The church has been here 166 years, and God has been here from the very beginning. And we simply get the privilege to follow God in this place, to learn to walk in the ways of Jesus Christ, to be God's justice and love in this place. May that happen for another year, for another 100 years, for another 166. May it be so. Amen.